So as soon as children are old enough to speak, one of the first questions parents tend to ask is, how big are you? How old are you? And we do this because we want our children to realize that they are growing. We know that the way they think of themselves matters. We don't want them to think of themselves as small, weak, lacking in adequate strength, or those unable to handle challenges. So that's for them. But for us this morning, I have a slightly different question. How big is your God? How big is Christ in your life? Jesus, throughout his miracles, intends for his fear-prone followers to understand that this earth is in the hands of an infinite Lord, whose character and competence can be trusted. Sometimes we live life as a consequence of the way that we think God is. Is he too big? Is he big enough? Is he too small? Are we convinced that we are absolutely safe in the hands of a fully competent, all-knowing, an ever-present God? Today is part two of our series on Kingdom Living, the Miracles of Jesus. Last week, Andrew Dund spoke on Jesus turning water into wine. And today our focus is on Jesus calming the storm. So just a bit of context, and we're going to look at this together. Let's have a look at verse 22. Verse 22 reads, "One day Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side of the lake.' So they got into a boat and set out." Now, I haven't been to Galilee myself, but from what I hear and from those who have been, the geography in Galilee is such that the storms can quickly blow up, seemingly from nowhere. It's not very far across the lake, yet here are the disciples caught in the storm. But the good thing is that Jesus is in the boat with them. Is he awake? Is he asleep? Verse 23. "As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger." Now, if you want anyone with you at a time like this, it would be Jesus. So they wake him up, and in an instant, he calms the storm. Verse 24. "The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we're going to drown.' He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm." Jesus has power. Jesus has power over humans, over our lives, but he also has power over the whole of creation. And the question is, do we lack faith for the big things in our world? And surely if Jesus is Lord, he is Lord over those too. Verse 25. "Where is your faith?" he asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." So the major focus in this passage comes in the disciples' struggle of faith and in their discussion on Jesus' authority. We too can have the same desperate feeling that they did. Especially in the midst of events beyond our control, we often feel that God is somehow not aware or not watching, that he is asleep. Jesus asks the disciples to reflect on God's care. They do not need to panic. Rather, they need to understand that God does care for them and is watching over them. The disciples need to be made aware that their teacher has authority that extends into the operation of the whole world of the cosmos. And you can see that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 20. The sovereignty of Jesus makes him far more than just a prophet. His authority makes him far more. And friends, our sense of helplessness need not be limited to finding ourselves at risk in the settings of nature, in the world that we live in. Sometimes we get overwhelmed by the things around us. The storms of today can arrive in a rush of circumstances beyond our control. Events in our lives sometimes leave us feeling at risk, whether it be in a job situation, in a severe illness of a loved one, in an unexpected tragedy, in the breakdown of a relationship. Any of these can be a storm in which we doubt God's goodness. We may feel that God has left us to fend for ourselves. Today, this passage calls for a deeper, trusting faith, even in the midst of circumstances beyond our control. There is no telling how often some of the disciples, as former fishermen, had been on the lake in the midst of a storm. Perhaps they were used to storms. Yet it was clear that they were powerless to deal with such forces. As much as they knew them well, they couldn't deal with them themselves. Though their faith was weak, they did the right thing in turning to Jesus. They turned to Jesus for help, so they knew where to turn in that moment. Except that their cry that they were perishing perhaps might have been the slight error. Yes, they knew where to turn to Jesus, but they were still in fear at that point. So maybe that's where the slight error might have been. The question is, had they understood God's care, maybe they would have realized that divine care never takes a break, even when it leads into those rough, stormy waters. And Jesus's call for faith is also a call to reassurance that God is aware of whatever storms we are going through and is watching over us. You've probably heard of the story of the great hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." In the 19th century, Horatio G. Spafford lost his four daughters when an ocean liner sank in the Atlantic. Only his wife survived, and she sent a cable to her husband, and it read, "Saved alone." Here was a storm that seemingly overwhelmed him, but what did this saint write? As he contemplated what had happened, he wrote this, and if you know it, you can sing or just listen quietly. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul." There's a man who learned to trust God in the midst of the storm. I have recently just returned from Uganda. And in the short 2 weeks I was there, I didn't hear this word said enough. It is well, it is well. In the short space of 2 weeks, there were about 5 deaths of people that I knew in church and extended family. But the response of a lot of the people was, it is well, it is well. And I'd be struggling. How can you say it is well? And people are dying, and they're dying young, and they're dying all sorts of things happen. And I'm sure that's probably true for you. You'll have your own stones. And so I came back, and as though it wasn't enough, after preparing this talk, I was going through it, and then last night I get a text from home. My first cousin, Susan, died 2 years older than me. And I'm thinking, what's going on? And as I'm reading it, I'm struggling to process what I'm going to say. And even right now as I preach, I'm struggling with this message. And yet, it is true. I believe what I'm teaching, because God's word is true, isn't it? Amidst this, Jesus' power doesn't cease. The question is, do we cease to trust him amidst pain, sickness, poverty, disappointment, discouragement, when things don't go the way that we want them to? So the disciples, as they lived with Jesus and saw him work, they came to understand that they were not following an ordinary rabbi. Luke has the disciples ask the question here, who is this? And the rest of the gospel shows the answer to this question. That answer is a central issue of life. Jesus is the unique Son of God. Here is the Savior with the power to deliver and bring life out of death. I'm reminded of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23, where Paul prays, especially that the Ephesian believers will come to understand that the power at work in us is like that which raised Jesus from the dead and set him over every force in creation, both in this age and in the age to come. The one who has such power is able to deliver us, if he chooses, from whatever we face. All he asks is that we trust him as we go on the way. He's also able to deliver us ultimately from anything that overwhelms us in this life. It's a power that is perhaps the most crucial of all. The disciples are just beginning to come to grips with such power in the one they have walked with for nearly 3 years. We also must sit at his feet for some time before we really begin to comprehend how great Jesus is and how far his deliverance reaches.